All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and I've done it. I'm bringing you the horror comics. I know you guys never thought it was going to happen, but here we are. We got Vampirella, number 5, June. And several more where these came from. Vampy's Fairy Tales. Cheerio, vampiric vixens! You know most of the characters in my tales can be found under any flat rock, and the fearsome folk in this tale are no exception. Come get stoned with us as we sink our finky fangs into this historic horror entitled The Satanic Sisterhood of Stonehenge. Ah. Far out on a windswept plain in England looms the incredibly ancient and mist-shrouded ruin known as Stonehenge. Any clear memory of the origin of Stonehenge was long lost before the Roman armies marched through the ritual arrangement of its gigantic stones. The 12th century historian Geoffrey of Monmouth claimed that both under Pendragon, King Arthur, and Emperor Constantine were buried at Stonehenge. Lost in history, this imposing circle of carefully arranged stones was the scene of prehistoric rites presided over by witch women, were creatures, worshippers of all that belligerent blackguard, Beelzebub. Vampirella. Okay, let's see. Frank Frazetta on the cover. And nobody that I know in particular. But let's get started. Okay, so we have Craft of a Cat's Eye, Scaly Death, An Axe to Grind, Vampy's Flames, Avenged by Aurora, ooh, Ghoul Girl, Escape Route, and Luna. Oh, that might be cool. We're not going to go through the letters. You guys can read those on your own. Greatest thing since the invention of girls. I'd like to be the president of the club. Wow, people were very different back in those days. Subscribe or die. Why should you have to go out in bad weather for your favorite magazine? You can catch your death that way. Order a subscription now in the interest of better health. Well, damn. It's not like it used to be. The Craft of a Cat's Eye. So you think I'm being a little cryptic with a title like that, eh? Well, cool it, cat lovers, because this tale's right up your alley. Dig a little deeper. You never know what you might paw up. Presenting the First Lady of the New York Theater, Miss Pearl Talmadge. All my life! Old witch! Oh, come now, Jack. Old witch! Heavens, why don't you like her? I didn't say I didn't like her, my friend. I simply said she was an old witch. She's my aunt, you know. Only living relative. And here I am struggling away and she's loaded with money. Yes, I imagine she would be. Won't give me a red cent. Not a brass knuckle. But not for long, no sir. Not by a long shot. Hello, little Tika. Hello, little girl. Hello, Sadie. Hello. Here's my little Marie. Hello. Hello, aunt. How's the dearest, greatest aunt a fella ever had? You! What do you want? Well? What? I told you before I didn't want your wretched body to cross my step again. Aunt, I'm sorry. I've been a real bad sort. I found myself in trouble, and I want to apologize. I need your help, aunt. Help me. Help me! All right, Jack. All right, boy. It'll be all right. Just relax. Don't worry. Aunt Pearl will take good care of you. She's in for a bit of a surprise, though. Ha, ha, ha. If I move quickly enough, I can work myself into her will. The old fool. And there are many ways a woman of her age can die. Ha, 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 ha. Laugh. Jack Talmadge, laugh well and hard, but best do it now, for you may not have a chance later on. Their eyes watching, waiting in the dark, and they're waiting for you. Well, we must give credit where credit is due. Jack worked hard, hard at his evil plans, at working his way into the old woman's heart. He lived a good life for once, but only on the surface, but always always under their constant eyes. And Jack, therefore, is to be my sole beneficiary. Can't say I entirely agree with you, but it is your will, your money. I usually respect your advice, but he's my only relative. Well, if that's your reason, I must respect it. Then the time has come! Well, Aunt, did you do as you promised? Did you take care of our little matter? Yes, Jack. Yes, I did. Tonight, when she makes her special appearance at the concert hall, her audience will get a bit more of a show than they paid for. Just a couple of drops of arsenic into this cup, and poof! 2,000 fans will see her drop. Tea, Aunt? There she is, singing away like it was her last performance. Well, it is. She's faltering, but not so fast. Not so fast. Our cat has 9 lives. Done. What? Yeah! Now, don't get catty about it. That plot did have a perfectly beautiful teeth and tongue message. Beauty is only fur deep. Kind of catastrophic, no? It's that time of year again, gang, for setting back our clocks. Only this time, let's go beyond the standard 1-hour setback and split to 1 million or so years B.C. Scaly death. The agonizing cry of mammoth trapped in the searing fury of molten lava resounded across the land. And in that moment, when the earth belches her scalding entrails upon her creatures, 2 human figures flee for their lives. Hurry, Cand! Faster! The lava will catch up with us! I'm trying, Borg, but I'm not as strong as you. I am afraid I will not... Borg, go on without me! Never! I shall die here first! But there is no need for either of us to perish. As long as I have any strength left, Khan, you shall live. I swear it. No, put me down, Borg. You will only lose yourself to death. We are almost out of its range, my mate. You should not have endangered yourself, Borg. You are safe now, and that is all that matters. Yes, we are safe. But what of our people? They are all dead. Dead, burned to ashes in the furies of the volcano. My parents, your parents, all those we loved. Borg, are we all that is left? You must not think like that, Cand. We have lost our people, but we can start anew, another tribe. Someday our people will dwell in these mountains. Perhaps you are right, my mate. The earth is settled for the present. The threat of volcanic wrath has ended. A fresh dawn bathes the great plains in orange light. Warm light that the survivors welcome. A world awaits us, Cand. A world of death and of life. We must both be brave. I will be brave as long as you are at my side. We must find a new cave. One that will provide us with shelter. Borg, wait! That sound! It's the Three Horn! Oh, Borg! It's seen us! Faster, faster, Cand! I am trying! Ring! Oh, go on, Borg! By yourself! Cand, no! Your foot is not broken. You must get up. Or shall I have to carry you again? No, I can stand! Wait, we can no longer go that way! Borg and Cand stare in fear, unmoving at the monster crashing towards them through the jungle. Roar! It is the Finback! We are trapped! Oh, Borg! Borg, is it the end? Not yet, Cand. Perhaps the Earth itself will save us. Where are we going? Here, in this fissure caused by the erupting volcano! Surely we will be trapped down here. I think not, Cand. I believe the creatures will find each other a more... Excuse me. I believe the creatures will find in each other a more challenging game. All we can do now is watch and wait. Yes! And hope. Grrr! The very earth begins to tremble beneath the weight of the 2 reptiles, and all the sounds of nature are drowned out by the guttural roars of savage life. For a moment, the 2 creatures eye each other, and then... Stay close to me! It shall soon be over! Yeah! Quickly now, before the monster can regain strength for another attack! I must kill it! Thud! Splash! Do not worry, the danger has ended. Finback is dead. But Borg, will we ever be free from so much death? I think that we shall have at least time to rest. That cave, just ahead, a place to be safe and warm for the night. We shall be able to start our new tribe here. Oh, Borg, it almost seems impossible. But it is possible. Yes, Can, this is our new home. Talk about putting your foot in your mouth, eh? Well, next time you do that, cave kids, make sure it's in your own mouth. You know the danger in snap decisions. Snap! Fill your eyes with wonder, eh? And your ears with thunder. And if things are getting a bit dull, look around. Maybe you too have an axe to grind. Sometimes when a storm takes up its skirts and moves down across the land, it brings with it whispers of dramas it has seen. If you close your eyes tightly and reach out to the wind, you may just catch the flash of something. Good Lord! Stella sold lightning rods. Not so strange in this age of suffrage. And the roof of the house standing against the sky was naked to the building storm. What a place! Just look at that! Needs one of my best! The sky, choked with gloom, began to cough out its illness. Doom! What a place! Thok, thok! Thok, thok, thok! Yes? Yes? I have a bone to pick with you, sir. An axe to grind, if you may. Just look at this place. Awesome. But can you imagine what would happen if it were to be struck by lightning? I just happen to have here exactly what you're looking for. I'm looking for nothing. Wanting nothing. Needing nothing. Lightning rods. Look, it's beginning to rain. Let me step in where it's dry and I'll show you what I've got. Maybe you do have something for me, after all. The sky was rolling, pushing with it ever darkness. My bad. Let me read that again. The sky was rolling to the west, pushing with it ever-growing darkness. Just set your things down here. Here, look at some of my beautiful things. This one I think is perfect for your great home. Some wonderful things. What's that? Nothing. Nothing at all. Sit down, please, a minute. I, too, have an axe to grind. It sounds human. What's down there? What? Always trying to sell me something I don't need. Must get to the door. Locked! Oh, God, no. You sure you don't want... The last salesman is down there. Used my axe. Slam! Smash! Crack! Oh, God! Aye! Well, friends, how is that for a striking finish? When they say we don't want any, that's what they mean. Okay. Oh, cool. Richard Charn of Templeton, Quebec put a beast and a bat in this drawing of me. He didn't say what they're doing there. It's good art. Clamber into your armor, Fright Knights. Unlock your shock, daring damsels, and let's watch a wizard's magic weave a tale of woe and wail. Alas, frenzy fiends, 'tis a tearful tale full to tell you. But don't fret, the hero of the sun is about to be... Avenged by Aurora! Thunderhead, are you not charged with my horse? Its saddle unhitched and I nearly broke my neck. 'Twas not the servant's fault, Zorak, the Duke is unfair. 'Tis true, Elaine, but the dungeons are rank with men who've displeased the Duke. Wait here, Smick. A month in chains may teach you to be more careful. Throw the fool and irons! Better than that. Perhaps the rack will do the job faster. Wait! I implore indulgence, your grace. If you must teach him obedience, allow me to instruct him. Should your lordship waste his efforts on this simpleton? Methinks your magic is far better punishment, but take care you do not bungle it. Take him then, wizard. Until now, boy, these doors have allowed no one entrance, no one but I. Beyond us secrets lie that only the universe knows and magic will permit. Come, let me show you what destiny awaits you. And here you will find your fate, young man. Already the Zodiac Fortius your future. Excuse me. Already the Zodiac foretells your future. Or do you presume that our meeting was merely by chance? Your sign, youth. Tell me your sign. I cannot be sure, great wizard. To family of Lancer I was born. Thomas some 20 summers past. A Leo, then. You will make a fine pupil. Pupil? I will journey you through the signs of the heavens so that you will learn to control the fates through the whims of the stars. You will learn all that I have learned and the truth of magic. You will learn all that I know. And as Thomas's mind began then to discover, so did the apprentice's heart. You must keep your mind on your work, Thomas. That girl hardly knows you exist. I cannot help myself, Zorak. I see her face everywhere. Don't be frightened. I knew you would come here tonight. I remember you. You are Zorak's servant. He saved you from the wreck. His student. And besides teaching me the stars, he has shown me that tonight our fates have combined. And each night, thereafter, two destinies entwined. Thomas the Leo and Elaine the Virgo. Two lovers the stars united. Oh, Thomas, why love like this when we know we can never be free? We will be free, my darling. Trust the stars. They never betray those who believe in them. Yet even the stars sometimes went out. And when they did, I have wasted enough time thinking of you, wench. Such a face is too delicate to hide itself here. Your name, girl. What is your name? Tomorrow the Duke forces me to become his lady in waiting. I will not wait the morrow, Elaine. What will we do, Thomas? There will be no moon when I visit the stables tonight. Wait, Thomas, you must stop this madness. I cannot save you if the Duke finds out. If he does, he must then catch us both. Hold tight, Elaine. Behind them, shouting soldiers pursued his escape. Thomas knew the Duke's rage would mean death if they captured him. Swiftly, Thomas the Duke has sent them to destroy you. Excuse me, we'll try that one again. Swiftly, Thomas, the Duke has sent them to destroy you. Save yourself! Elaine! You've murdered her! He must be taken alive! Duke Warwick has commanded it! Ha! Seems this lion-hearted fellow has lost his crown! Take him! Fool! Did you imagine your magic was greater than my demands? Your dreams have cost me that girl, and you your life! Did I not warn you this would happen, Thomas? At sunset, the headsman will claim you. And I am helpless. My life means nothing now, wizard. Only vengeance for the life of Elaine. Most noble Duke, surely you can find mercy in your wisdom. Spare this boy. Enough, magician. Think not to rob me of my small pleasures. I will teach him the final lesson. Begin. Do not fear for me now, friend Zorak. Instead, tell me what I must do. Search, my son. Let the stars be your answer. They will tell you what you must do. Beads of dawn splashed red against the blood-stained block, and the silent morning death knell, a scream unlocked its agony. Ah! In there! It sounds like the Duke! Quickly, the doors bolted from within. Those who kept their sanity never spoke of the incident again. Such things can never be explained. Oh, my God! How could this be? Kill the beast! Kill it! Unless one looks to the stars for an answer. Didn't I tell you that our hero would be avenged by Aurora? Ah, well, after a tale like that, I guess we were all wishing for someone to fix the Duke's wagon. Poor Dookie. Purr. Hungry? Well, come and get it before I throws it away. This is an appetizing morsel about a doll that loves to shovel down the grave grub, cause she's a ghoul girl. There she is! A grave's been robbed every night for the past week. Yah! Had to have its nightly meal, and this is the only place to serve the ghoul. Come on, let's get her. Ghoul, ghoul. The cries ring out through a remote area of 20th century Germany. The silence of the night is slashed by sounds of crackling torches, clubs whisking through the night air. A fiend had been discovered while performing an obscene act. Burn her! Club her to death! Don't let the ghoul escape! No, no, you are wrong, I'm not! Kill her! Beat her to a bloody pulp! They're not about to listen, but maybe I can outrun them. Maybe. Quick, men, before she reaches that house, we'll burn it down with her! The girl's feet tear as she runs over the jagged pebbles and bits of debris. Already her back feels the heat of the torches and anticipates the pounding of the clubs. Then there is hope, salvation if... just ahead, my only chance! Suddenly aroused by the curses and blasphemies of the villagers. What's all the commotion? And huh? Why? Who are you? Help me, but please, please... Hold it right there. I don't know why you're after this girl, but if you don't want to be shot, if you don't want to be shot down, then stay back. Don't shoot. We can explain. That creature is not a girl. Her beauty is a guise to conceal her true evil nature. Hans is right. She is a verdammt creature that robs graves. A ghoul. Ach, and tonight we caught her in the very act of desecrating a grave. She's not human, and she must be destroyed by fire. Why? You're insane. All of you. Bunch of maniacs. Now get back. The first one of you that tries anything gets a bullet from his brain. There is brief silence. The villagers begin to murmur, resuming their threats with quiet voices. You've won for now. But just for now. Jawohl. We shall await. And then, when the time is right, we will destroy her. You're safe now, so you might as well take a deep breath. And tell me, what this is all about? If it will make it any easier, my name is Kenneth Henricks. I'm from the States, okay? So tell me who you are. I would rather not tell you my name under the circumstances. All right, but why were those lunatics after you? They said I was a ghoul, a supernatural creature that... I know the old stories, a creature that feeds on corpses. But it's a lie, Kenneth. Yes, I was caught digging up a grave, but not for the reason everyone accused me. I arrived in the town only yesterday to attend my brother's funeral. There was so much talk among the townspeople that a ghoul was robbing graves that, well, I had to see for myself that my brother's remains had not been violated. That's when they caught me and jumped to the obvious conclusions. Wait a second. I think I heard something outside. What's wrong? Hold me, please. Whoa, excuse me. What's wrong? Hold me, please. If it's trouble they want, I'll be happy to give it to them. Be careful. I'll be back. Don't you let anyone in except me. You'll recognize my voice. There he is. Get him. What the? Quickly. Kenneth! He's had enough. Now, throw him inside. Seeing her only chance to escape now thwarted, the lovely grave robber awaited the horrible death before her. How will it end? Excuse me. How will it end? The clubs or the torches? He is weakening, but no matter. We have to do what we have came to do. Get your torches ready. Wait, don't be insane. We'll burn the flesh from that ghoul. You have taken your last meal from our ground. But please, you're making a mistake. Stop this, you must. Himmel! Quick, out the front door while I hold them off. Snuck! The girl obeys, moving away from the sounds of cracking bones. But as the door swings open, you are going nowhere except to Hades, where you belong! Grr! Kenneth, now shut the door and burn the house to the ground! Burn, ghoul, burn! Kenneth, you're alive, hurry, you must get up. We have to get out of here. Kenneth Henricks awakens, his head throbs with pain. His blistering brain knows that his death is near. Those flames. Hard to breathe. Can't see. Oh, Kenneth, the flames are rushing towards us so fast. We can't escape. Then at least let me hold you. We'll face the end together. Well, that does it. Soon the fire will die out, and the prizes belong to us. Why share our food with strangers, especially competitors? Oh, well, at least we get a warm meal out of it. Well, at least it's better than those cold cuts they've been serving lately. We're pretty well done with this little snack, so move on to our next sizzler. Philip Bradford isn't having such a hot time tonight. See, he has this thing about fire ever since his late wife developed a creamy complexion. Cremated, that is. What he needs most of all right now is an escape route. Fire again, all around me. I know I'm only imagining it, but why can't I ever forget? He stared into his coffee a moment, silently, and when he looked up again, the restaurant had returned to normal. His hallucination was over. Still, there were some things that would never be over. Sherry! Sherry, my God, I'm sorry! I'm sorry I didn't save you from that fire! He felt the tears and tried desperately to prevent them from his cheeks. When uncontrollable sobs burst forth, he hoped the others in the restaurant hadn't noticed. I'm sorry. 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 He lit a cigarette, then watched the match's flame slowly make its way towards the tips of his thumb and forefinger. Poof! Sherry had to burn because of me! Weakness passed through him, and he remained silent and helpless. His mind turned back its pages, remembering the day of his wife's death as perhaps a million times before. He had returned late from work. He knew Sherry was inside. Sherry! Good Lord! But the flames had been so hot, searing his face. Sherry! You can't go in there, man! It's suicide! Let me go! I have to! My wife's inside! It was useless. Sherry! Sherry! He'd watched as the burning house finally collapsed with Sherry still inside. Crash! Fire! Everybody out! The building's on fire! Gotta get out of here! There's fire all around me in here! It's like an oven! Philip! Philip, help me! That voice! Philip! Philip, help! Sherry's voice! She's calling for help! He ran like a madman toward the sound of her voice, ignoring the flames, thinking only that perhaps he'd been granted a second chance. I'm coming, Sherry! I'm coming! Suddenly, two firemen appear. Come on, buddy! You gotta get out of here! Not this time! You won't stop me this time! Fuck! Oh, Philip! I'm so glad you're here! Sherry, I've found you! Really a bad one, eh? Everybody got out except him! Yeah, too bad about that one. He kept yelling something about a girl. Yeah, Sherry. Somebody weird. Wonder what got into him anyway. Looks like poor Philip got all fired up over nothing, eh? Oh well, maybe not. Who knows? For those of you moonfoons who missed this historic landing on Skellivision, sit back and stare at what really happened on Luna. Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. There is an almost eternal interlude as the Earth craft rests on the lunar surface. Bring the Apollo 11 mission to its halfway point. After seemingly endless hours pass, a hatch opens. That's one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. It's one giant leap for mankind, actually. On the moon, both excitement and duty while on... On the moon, both excitement and duty while one of Earth's heroes amuses himself by leaping about the sphere's 1/6 gravity. The other astronaut scoops up the documented rock samples that will be studied back on Earth. It is with this priceless sampling that our story begins. The astronauts have been back on their world for some time. During that time, the excitement of the first men to set foot upon Luna has dwindled. However, at one place on Earth, their mission will produce even greater effects. That place, one of our largest geological institutes. Okay, you're clear to go in. They sure are going through a lot of trouble to keep this stuff out of anybody else's hands. This stuff, as you call it, is a collection of rocks brought back by astronauts from the moon. Scientifically invaluable. Well, I'll be glad when we get rid of it. Afraid somebody will steal it? It's not that. I'm just not comfortable with it around, that's all. Ah, Dr. Glookson, here are your samples. Thank you, gentlemen. That'll be all. Dr. Daniels, here it is. Actual samples of the moon's surface. It's almost too incredible to believe. Yes, but we have no time for dreaming now. We've got some analyzing of these specimens to do. Unlock the container. The key turns. There's a faint click, and Dr. Glookson opens the lid. There, think of it. In our hands, minerals taken from another world. Dr. Glookson wastes no time in selecting one of the mineral samples. With painstaking care, the scientist began scraping away a fragment of lunar stone. There. That should hold it on the slide, all right. Now, Dr. Daniels, the microscope. Now, for a better focus, and good grief, this is sheer lunacy. This just can't be right. Dr. Glookson, what do you see? Here, Daniels, take a look for yourself. Tell me that I'm not just hallucinating. With both anxiety and caution, Dr. Daniels squints into the eyepiece of the microscope. Then his eyes snap. He refocuses to ensure against a mistake of optics. Good Lord! She's alive! Somehow, when I saw her, I wanted to possess her. But this can't be real. Logic screams against it. Doctor, there's something stranger here. She's growing. This is insanity. Doctor, do something. Do something? What? Crash! Are you all right? Yes, the process is complete now. Thank you. I believe I am on what you call Earth. Good gravy, she's communicating telepathically. I am sorry for the damage I have caused, but you could not know about rebirth, as I did not foresee it. My name is Luna. Your moon was the planet of my birth, but that was so many ages ago, before the arrival of life on your world. Then the moon was vastly different from the way it is now. Our world had a comfortable atmosphere, lush foliage, and much food and natural drink. The technological state we had reached far surpassed anything on your world. Man, they were really having a good time, weren't they? But evil men who wanted to control their world or destroy it brought Holocaust to my world. Radiation soon spread throughout our atmosphere, drying up all our moisture, dehydrating our body systems, wiping away all atmosphere. Day by day, our people believed extinction inevitable. My crystal was apparently in the same sample of rocks brought back to Earth. Oh, hold on. We'll try that one again, guys. Our surviving scientists exploded another bomb, one that acted upon the results of the first, stepping up the dehydration so that all life on the moon would be reduced to tiny solid crystals. We were saved from doom. My crystal was apparently in the sample of rocks brought back to Earth. When you added the drop of water to the microscope slide, the moisture restored me to my proper size. Utterly amazing! I'm afraid this has all been a terrible strain, and I'm going to need another pill. Doctor, watch it. You'll spill the water. Oh, there I did it. Spilled water on the other samples. What, there are more samples? And you made them wet? I'm afraid so. You do not understand. When I told you that all remaining life on our world meant dehydration into those crystals, I meant all life. The uncivilized areas of our world were inhabited by things capable of wiping out all lunar life. If not for our city's force fields, monsters, enormous, vicious, and hungry. See what happens when you mooned over some unreachable foreign chick? Just be thankful it wasn't a batch of bugs our space boys brought back. Wouldn't it be a drag if old Mom Earth suffered an invasion of lunatics? Wow. Okay. And that's all we've got for right now. We'll see you in a couple of weeks with another Vampirella. But I believe Creepy's coming at you next time. So, all right, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and we'll see you next time on Grimm's Comics Corner. If you like this video, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe, and share with others. I'm out.